on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning out there. We're kind of unusual. I'm getting a little feedback. There we go. A little bit different this morning. We're going to have a guest, which, as you, those of you guys who come here regularly know, I do some guests, but it's about what I think, like old Rush Limbaugh used to say. So, but we have Sheriff Richard Max going to join us here this morning. I would just encourage all of you right now, maybe to, if some of your buddies are up, email them, say, man, catch Coach Dave right now. Sheriff Smack's on. They're going to say, who? Who's Sheriff Smack? Who's Sheriff Mack? Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. And as Sheriff Mack gets in here, you guys will recognize his face and recognize what he has to say. And the truth is, folks, this is what we want. Huh? Everything's becoming more and more local. Politics are becoming local. And I've often wondered as I watch some of my friends around the country get arrested, you know, Pastor Dunphy and others, to think, man, can I call my sheriff? Will my sheriff defend me against the federales coming in here? We've been so confused, so much of a top-down government in America that sometimes we've realized that the government's supposed to be bottom-up. And Sheriff Richard Mack's been fighting that thing for a long, long time. We'll get him in here in just a second. Second of all, Zach, our son, was sworn in yesterday. He's now an official, an attorney. Makes me want to gag. I was kind of in there when they were doing the swearing-in ceremony. And I was looking around at the 500 or so lawyers that were being sworn in by this the Ohio Supreme Court. And I'm thinking the best thing that would happen is if this room just blew up, to be honest with you. We don't need any more lawyers. It's been quite an accomplishment for Zach to get that done. So we were proud parents. And my buddy Norm came, and it was all really good. Been a real, real battle for him to do that. So appreciate all that. And again, I was saying before I went on the show here, just appreciate so much those of you who just faithfully send checks to us every month. $10, $25, $50. It doesn't matter. It all adds up. And we had a slow month last month. And then I went to the post office yesterday and it was a bonanza. We had like 20 different checks in there, small checks. That's what keeps us going. So I want to thank all of you. And of course, everything that's going on down in the hurricane area, it's unbelievable. We're deeply involved down in there with Cowboy Dave and all that kind of stuff. So just tell others about us. And thanks for all the support. I'm gonna jump right in. Sheriff Mack, again, text somebody, say, Sheriff Mack, Sheriff Mack. I got to know Sheriff Mack probably 10 years ago now. I don't remember. We were at a meeting out in, someplace out in Kansas or someplace, Sheriff. I don't even remember where it was. And you were really kind of a bigwig then, kind of a hero in the movement that was going on against the government. Because it's amazing, really, when you find a sheriff who the opposition calls anti-government. If you could, real quick, Spencer, click on that Wikipedia link and throw it up there. And look what Wikipedia says about Sheriff Richard Mack, right? Now, we know Wikipedia is not some type of organization. People just kind of go in there and put whatever they want to in there, right? But they call him, he's the former sheriff of Graham County, Arizona, political activist, and he's known for his role in successful lawsuit against the federal government, which we'll get in there in a minute. Mack is founder of the Constitutional Sheriff, established County Sheriff Project. But more than that, he sits on the board of directors of the Oath Keepers, a far right militia group, right? Folks, is it unbelievable? Unbelievable the stuff that they say about it. And Sheriff, I look down there, I was born November 26, 1952. So I'm just about a month older than you in 1952. So Sheriff Mack, come on in. I'm just going to kind of an open forum. Folks, you're willing to jump in here. And Sheriff, you've been saying for as long as I've known you and known of you, and again, I apologize, I haven't had you back on more recently, is the most powerful office in America is the local sheriff. Is that true, Sheriff?
That's absolutely true. And the simple reason is because he's the only elected public official, law enforcement official. The office of sheriff goes back over 1,000 years into old Anglo-Saxon law, and he was always the protector of the people, the conservator of the peace, and answers only to the people. And that's where he gets his power. He reports directly to we the people, and all power, all political power is inherent in the people, and they appoint the sheriff and they review his job every 4 years to see if they want to keep him. And he doesn't report. Everybody needs to understand this. He does not report to anyone else. He does not have a boss. He does not have a supervisor except for we the people. And therein lies his power. It's historic, and it's also a direct line to the power source of America, and that's it. I also wanted to look at Wikipedia and just tell you a few of the lies that are on there.
Yeah, go ahead.
The second paragraph says that I was recruited by the NRA. That would have been...
Spencer, my webmaster, scroll down a little bit here
a little more right there. MacVUS, it says Mac, as sheriff. He was recruited by the National Rifle Association. How would they even know who I was to recruit me? I wasn't even a member of the NRA. So how would they know to recruit me? And so it was absolutely, that's so ridiculous. The opposite is true. I called the NRA and said, hey, how do I sue the federal government on this Brady Bill thing? And I didn't know that they were going to say, we're ready to go and help you with this, sheriff. And we've got the money. We've got the lawyers. And we're ready to help you with this case. So I recruited them. They didn't recruit me.
Walk us through that, sheriff, because it went to the U.S. Supreme Court. You won at the U.S. Supreme Court. So back then, what year would that have been, sheriff? I don't know. 1990.
Yeah, it was 1994, and the Brady Bill was the issue. And the Brady Bill was the first time in American history that the federal government promulgated legislation that commandeered the office of sheriff. And they told us, they sent the BATF out to our sheriffs and meetings all across the country. But in Arizona, we had our meeting in Phoenix, and three agents of the BATF came and handed us a document detailing what our job assignment was, the BATF telling the sheriffs what we had to do to enforce the Brady Bill for the federal government.
So the BATF, for those of us who live in Kentucky down here, Sheriff, that would be the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco. That's what it would be, right?
Yeah, Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms.
Firearms. So they thought they had jurisdiction over every gun and every sheriff in every area in America.
Exactly. Right. And so the sheriff started pushing back, and you never heard so much cussing in your life, and it wasn't coming from me. First of all, I don't use much profanity. I certainly don't throw F-bombs. But some of the other sheriffs were really, really ticked about it, and they let it be known. And at one point, I asked the BATF officers, you know, I said, you guys know we don't work for you. You can't fire us. You can't hire us. And they go, well, you would think that, but Congress passed a law. And I said, I don't care if they pass 500 laws. We don't work for you. And you can't they can't pass legislation that makes something happen that doesn't exist. And they have no authority to do in the first place. And so I left the meeting very upset, because all the other sheriffs acquiesced. They said, there's nothing we can do about it. And I said,
were they worried about federal funds being cut off? Was that kind of the caveat?
No, they were just worried about this, that they were so arrogant that they could just tell sheriffs what to do. That was the issue. And secondly, it was a gun control scheme. It was totally a scam to hide their true intention of starting to get rid of the Second Amendment. And you need to know this. Every one of you need to know this. There were 5 Brady bills scheduled to be passed 1 year after the other for 5 years. And that would have completely gutted the Second Amendment. It would have destroyed the Second Amendment. That was their intention. And then I filed.
As a sitting sheriff, you filed? Were you the sitting sheriff at that time?
Yeah, I was.
You were the sitting sheriff and you filed against
I was the sitting sheriff of Graham County, Arizona. I just got reelected in 92. The Brady Bill was promulgated in 93. And then in 1994, February 28th, the Brady Bill was to take effect. And my lawyer with the NRA lawyers filed Mac v. U.S. And I'm really glad they put Mac v. U.S. there, because most of agencies that go after me say nothing about my Supreme Court case, because one, it adds way too much credibility. Folks, this is the only time in history. Now get this. This is the only time in United States history where sheriffs sued the federal government, took it all the way to the United States Supreme Court, and we won. We won. And so I want
everyone. Sheriff, what did your victory really say, Sheriff? You won. What did the victory say?
Well, definitely. Well, all of you need to get. Can you see the book? Can you see
the
book?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, okay. This is a highlighted version of the case, and it's available at my website. And a little while ago, I saw a
book. Can you show his website up there, please?
Deals, but this is the most powerful book you can get in America. And so if you go to shop, you don't need to go to shop. That's okay. But it's talking about our Black Friday deal. And this is the most part. Let's see. Don't see it on that one. Okay. Now we're going to see it. Hang on. Yeah, it's got my hand on it right there in the middle, right there.
There it is.
Yeah. And these are like, there's no markup on this, you know, it's not like, that's it. And folks, you want to get dozens of these. They're three for $5, and we can even give bigger discounts for bulk orders. But some sheriffs have ordered cases of these, and they pass them around. They pass them around at their campaign and say, look what the United States Supreme Court did for America. And so I, Coach, I want to really tell you this fact. This is the most powerful Supreme Court case in the history of America regarding states' rights. The 10th Amendment. This is the most powerful 10th Amendment state sovereignty decision in the history of our country. And I'll tell you why. First, it was authored by Justice Antonin Scalia.
Mm.
And he actually said at the very beginning, he calls us the Cleos, the sheriffs that did this, and there were seven of us. But I started the whole thing from small town Arizona. You talk about a David versus Goliath story. Wow. This is it. We took on the Clinton administration. We sued the Clintons and lived to tell about it. And that's the miracle here.
Amen. That is a miracle. So, Sheriff Mack, just a real quick overview. What was it that they were trying to do that you sued about and won? What was it?
Okay. They threatened, I'm serious, this is the truth. They threatened to arrest us if we failed to comply. There was no money attached. This time they didn't say, oh, we'll give you all this grant money to do this for us. And Coach, I wouldn't have done it if they paid me $1 million a day. But I wasn't going to do this, because this was an attempt to bring the sheriff's office under federal control.
Wow.
Yeah. And then at the same time, make us part of their gun control movement. So mm-hmm. So after we won, Brady Bills 2, 3, 4, and 5 went away. The sheriffs of this country, seven sheriffs, did more to protect the Second Amendment than Congress has since they've existed.
Wow.
Okay. And so sheriffs did this. Right here, it says, Cleos. Scalia called us Cleos because the Brady Bill itself also said the Cleos shall make a reasonable effort and do all this other ministerial stuff. It wasn't too much, but it was so unconstitutional and so egregious, and it was the camel getting his nose under the tent to take away the autonomy of the sheriff and make it under federal control.
So, Sheriff, what do you mean by Cleo? What does that mean?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. The chief law enforcement officer. This is where you can see it documented in this case And the Brady Bill calls us that. So it's documented by the federal government that the sheriffs are the CLIOs. It's in the Supreme Court case. The answer to the CLIO's challenge must be sought in historical understanding and practice. This is Justice Scalia introducing the case that he's only going to take us through a history lesson. And he does. And he quotes the Federalist Papers. He quotes the Founding Fathers. He quotes the Constitution. And folks, this is the most powerful case. You've got to get a hold of this. And while you're doing that, become a member, make a donation. It's kind of funny. We survive financially in this fight that I've been doing now for about 30 years. And we only survive just the same way Coach Dave was talking. By the donations from good American people. And we have our posse. We have a CSPOA posse. And every citizen should become a member of that. And that's a whopping $11 a month or $99 a year. And so we invite all of you to be part of this because you're becoming part of the solution, a peaceful and effective solution. Folks, if you wanted to count how many peaceful and effective solutions we have left, you'll come up with about two or three.
Or many.
And one of them is that the good Lord will intervene on our behalf and heal our land.
Amen.
Well, what we're doing with abortion in this country, I don't believe he's going to step forward until we repent of that.
Yeah, amen, brother.
You know,
Sheriff, that made me take it two questions. Let me ask you. Would it take a brave local sheriff to go close down an abortion clinic? I mean, a guy could do that, right? A sheriff could say they're killing human beings here. And then,
we want that. We want that. Well, that's exactly what we want. And he would have to be able to articulate, according to the law, why. And the one thing in the law that still would help the sheriff do that is that most states still have, if you kill a pregnant woman, you're charged with two murders.
Amen, brother.
Okay. And that is still the case, folks. If it's murder to kill a woman and her child within her womb is another count of murder, then why is it that it's okay for the pregnant mother to take the life of that baby?
Amen, Sheriff. That just makes way too much sense.
So he could do it. And what we hope is that they will. But the first thing that we want to have happen that we're going to really push the Trump administration to do is to defund Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
That is an absolute abomination. There is no justification constitutionally for the federal government to force us, the Christians of this country, to pay to a private organization that's existence is to kill babies.
Amen.
We cannot. The Republicans had a chance to do this when Trump was in the first time, and they failed to do it. And Trump supported it. But Congress failed to have the courage to do it. That needs to happen first. Amen. And then the sheriffs need to come together and they need to unite and say, you know what? Why do we allow this sort of heinous activity to occur when the law says killing a baby in a mother's womb by an outside person is murder.
Murder. That's right.
But she does it on her own. That's ridiculous. That's absurd. Yeah.
Okay, Sheriff. So listen, we're going to try to cover a lot of ground here. So would the Supreme Court decision, and this decision and others, would that have anything to put your investigative hat on here, Sheriff? Would that have anything to do with the death of Scalia, you think?
I don't know. I've been asked that a lot. And there's just, you know, there was never any autopsy. There was so crazy. It looks a little bit suspicious. But you know, he was.
Yeah, I don't want to drag you in the weeds, man. I don't want
to
do.
Yeah,
that.
I mean, I didn't know enough about it to be able to say. But somebody should have done an autopsy on a public official. Don't even do an autopsy
on that public official, especially, right?
Yes, exactly.
Well, Sheriff, look, I've got buddies who are getting arrested. J6 getting arrested all around America. It's unbelievable. Sheriff, if they pull in here tomorrow and want to cart me off to some gulag, should I call my local sheriff? Do they have to go through my local sheriff to get me?
They should. And the thing of it is, any sheriff who allows that is not doing his job. Why would any sheriff allow the IRS, the FBI, the DEA, any of these organizations, with especially with their track record of criminal activity? The FBI has no credibility across this country any longer. No one trusts them anymore.
The sheriff's job is to protect me from the FBI and the Secret Service. And
all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Wow, brother.
All of them. And so for any sheriff to sit back, well, they're federal government. They have ultimate authority. Well, first of all, we teach and show in our training that they do not. Mm. This case proves that they do not. So let me go back to one quote from this case from Justice Scalia. He quotes Federalist Paper 51. And he says this. And I've got it memorized, but it's in here. All of you need this book, folks. You need this book. And it says this. Hence, a double security arises to the rights of the people. Now, I'm going to break into that quote, and I'm going to say,
double security.
How could that happen? How could a double security arise to the rights of the people? He says, why, right now? He's quoting the Founding Fathers in the Federalist Papers. Hence, a double security arises to the rights of the people. The different governments will control each other at the same time that each will be controlled by itself. Folks, is there any question as to whether or not the FBI and IRS will control themselves? No, they will not. Come on.
Somebody's got to control them.
And so the sheriff must establish protocols and safeguards. And the one thing that we push nationwide now, and we've been doing this for years, the sheriffs have got to put the federal agencies and government on notice that if you come into my county, you check with me first.
So, Sheriff, that would be our dear friend, Pastor Matt Tuella, wrote the book, The Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrate. And that's really what we're talking about here, isn't it?
Yes, the job of the
sheriff is to protect you from the higher-ups who really don't have the authority to get you in the first
place. And that's kind of a misnomer, because the sheriff is the high sheriff. He's not a lesser magistrate. He is the magistrate. He is the highest authority. He's the CLIO. He's the highest authority in his county. These bureaucrats, a bureaucrat from Washington, D.C., would supersede the authority of local officials, especially the sheriff. That's absolutely no. And I understand that book. I've never read it. I've read excerpts, and I think it's a good book. I would like him to read my book, The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope.
You're not really the lesser magistrate.
No, he's the ultimate power in this country. And in his county, he reigns supreme. And
I interrupt for a living, because I'm going to let some people get in here and ask you some questions.
I want to cover
a couple issues. If the people watching right now, they want to get this information to their local sheriff, how would you tell them to do that?
First, take him one of these and ask him if he's familiar with it, and then talk to him about his dedication to the Constitution. And this is where our training really comes in, because this is never a topic for training in law enforcement academies. Yeah. Or ongoing. Do they ever talk about and discuss the importance of the oath of office that each of us take? Do we know why we even take that oath? I'd say 98% of sheriffs and public officials don't know why we take that oath. And it's required by law, the supreme law of the land in Article 6, that we swear an oath of allegiance to the Constitution. Why did the Founding Fathers require that? So that God-given liberty would be perpetuate, would live in perpetuity.
Amen. Okay? Amen.
And so, this is one other thing, though, there. If the sheriff doesn't know your rights, how is he going to protect them? And this is so vital that they have the training.
Folks, that's the line of the day. That is the line of the day. If your sheriff doesn't know your rights, how's he ever going to protect him? Sheriff, that's it, isn't it?
Yes.
So we have an educational process ahead of us. Roger, come on, Roger Weaver, come on in. Be careful, Sheriff. This guy's an attorney. Go ahead, Rog.
Oh, I just had a question. Let's assume the FBI is credible. Let's assume they're credible.
Okay.
So they show up at my door to arrest me. Do I have any ability to stop that through
great question.
Your thoughts, your comments? I mean, can I say I'm not going anywhere and call 911, the sheriff, hey, this is going on?
Absolutely, or have your wife do it, or have a neighbor or anybody else, if they ever see that going on, somebody needs, they might not let you make that call right then, but if you see that they're out there, or if they knock,
call the cops.
First of all, don't open the door.
Right.
And secondly, because you know as a lawyer, you don't have to talk to them unless if they have a warrant, they can come in. Do they have a, if they have a no-knock warrant, they're going to bust in your door.
Right.
So but
immediately call 911 and say your house is under duress or something. Huh, Sheriff?
You tell them exactly what happened. There are a bunch of black clothed uniformed people here. I want the sheriff to. I want the sheriff's office. I need a deputy. This is out of hand. This is. I don't know what they're doing here. I want somebody to be here to watch what's going on, monitor this.
And sheriff, if they don't have a no-knock warrant, they can't bust down your door and come in.
That is correct. Right? That is correct. If they have a warrant, though, they're going to stay there and they can continue to knock. Say, we have a warrant for your arrest, or we have a search warrant. Sooner or later, you're going to have to let them in. But I don't trust warrants from the federal government, and no sheriff should, because these judges in Washington D.C. that have issued these warrants, you know darn well that they usually lack probable cause in those warrants. But for J6ers, not one time. This is another thing you really need to look at as an attorney. Not one time has the FBI allotted any of these, allowed any of these arrestees from J6 from January 6th. They were not, none of them have been extradited. None. And the federal government broke the law on every single one of them there.
Never. So they have no authority to come and arrest me and take me to Washington, D.C., do they?
Can you demand extradition?
Richard, can on the sheriff at your door, can you ask the sheriff to determine if the warrant is valid and if they have a valid probable cause? Can you request the sheriff to make a determination?
Absolutely. He should, because he knows, he should already know that the FBI on these cases, they have absolutely fabricated probable cause, because they've arrested people just standing there outside the building.
That's right.
They've arrested people for standing there.
But sheriff,
that's
the truth,
not probable cause of a crime.
Sheriff, the truth is, though, my local sheriff, maybe not my local one, but most local sheriffs, they're going to think, oh, man, do I want to mess with the feds here? And they're going to mess with my funding. Doesn't that kind of stuff go through their mind?
We hope that does. And what we also teach, Coach Dave, is you never take federal funding. Never. There's always strings attached, and that's one of them. I will compromise the liberty of my people, and I will compromise with tyrants as long as they're paying me.
Yeah.
Tell them to shove the money and never take federal grants. They always come with this sort of string.
Hey, folks, while you're sitting there right now watching, and we're going to go through a lightning round here. Got a lot of people want to ask you some questions. Folks, while we're doing this, go to his website and support him, whether you buy some of those flyers or just become a member, whatever. Please go and support him, because, look, I know this about the sheriff. He ain't back down, baby. And he has been doing this for a long time, and he is still standing. And not only that, we are moving more and more and more back to local authority. If you can't see that and understand that Washington, D.C., they're going to blow that place up. Hey, FBI, I don't mean physically, but we're going to see that monster in D.C. taken apart, peace, God willing, piece by piece, right? So that means that the local sheriff is going to become even more and more important. Your comments, Sheriff?
One more quote from the decision. Scalia quoted New York v. U.S. from 1992 when they fought the federal government over the federal government trying to force them to take nuclear waste. New York told the federal government, we're not taking your nuclear waste. You have no authority to force us to do this. They won. New York won in 1992. And he said, they said this, We have held, however, that state legislatures are not subject to federal direction. See, wow. The states form the federal government, and we assign them certain duties. And back to the lawyer that was just asking these questions. Inside the Constitution, you can only find 5 law enforcement powers that we delegated originally to the federal government. Treason, counterfeiting, felonies committed on the high seas or piracies. Then get this one. You'll love this one. Article 4, Section 4 says the federal government shall protect our borders from invasion. Our borders from invasion. And 5, violations of treaties. Those are the only 5 law enforcement powers delegated to the federal government. They have stolen and usurped thousands. We need to get back that the sheriffs know that they only have 5. And if they come into their counties doing anything else, then it's unlawful and it's unconstitutional.
So the sheriff has the authority to say no to illegal immigration.
Of course. Yes. And the sheriffs are going to help with the deportation. They won't be able to do this if the sheriffs aren't helping with deportation. Amen. And we just got a miraculous victory in Maricopa County. We have a constitutional sheriff in Maricopa County, the 4th largest sheriff's office in the United States. Very good friend of mine. His name is Jerry Sheridan, and he's dedicated to protecting the civil rights of all citizens in his county.
Folks, do you remember when Joe Arpaio there in that county, right? Joe Arpaio went after the birth certificate issue, and he was right, wasn't he, Sheriff?
He was absolutely correct. I saw the investigation myself.
Wow. All right, Sheriff, here comes a lightning round. Hey, folks, tell us your story. Not your life story. Julie, come on in.
Good morning. Thanks, Sheriff. Last year, another friend of mine, we had an interview with our local sheriff. And basically, we asked them those questions. And he said, well, I don't have the authority. They have the authority over me.
No.
So, moving forward.
That's like, you know what that's like him saying? I don't have the authority to keep my oath of office.
Right. And I didn't vote for him, you know. But anyway, because he wanted his name, the longest standing sheriff in our county. But anyway, so moving forward, I want to get one of your books. But how to approach him again, you know.
This is the credibility. We won, and he needs to read this. The problem is he's never been trained. He doesn't understand that the states form the federal government, not the other way around. We the federal government is a creature of the 13 original states.
The states are the parents. The federal government's the child.
That's correct. And to think that the FBI has authority over the sheriff, what do we elect him for then? Just let the federal government run our counties.
Exactly.
So just lunch, but it's just a sign of his ignorance, and we can take care of that if he has just an ounce of courage just to see the training. Just sit in the chair. Put your butt in the chair, and we'll provide the rest.
Amen. Okay. Mary Beth, come on in.
We just elected a new sheriff, George Cruz, and I really hope and pray someday he's right alongside you, because I asked him when I went to talk to him, are you a constitutionalist and all this other stuff? And he said he was. And so he's being held accountable to a lot of people. And I would say to send them this show.
Okay, you just need to ask him if he's willing to have our training.
And I will do that.
If he's a real constitutional sheriff, he'll want the training.
Amen.
And is that training shown in the book, or do you have to contact somebody?
No, we actually each of you can do the training and see the training. It costs, I can't remember what it costs. It's on our website. It's the certification course.
Okay.
And that is the training. But if you read the book, The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope, that's only 50 pages. If you need to read that so you know what your sheriff's supposed to know. But the thing of it is, it's pretty simple, but it's a 3-hour class.
Amen. Okay. Amen. Craig Nickel, come on, Craig.
So my question would be, in these urban counties where they have taken and made a police chief, which is appointed underneath like a county executive, right? How does this work? And, you know, where the sheriff's department might be just moving prisoners back and forth or whatever. So I guess my question is, does every county have a sheriff's department? Mm-hmm. And if not, it's through the police chief. And then my other question, and I know if it's related, how does the state police, is there any resolve to any of your constitutional rights through the state police?
Wow, that's a good question.
Okay, really, both of those are really good questions.
Yes.
Okay, so the first one was the county creating their own police department. Well, some counties did that because the sheriff wouldn't take orders. The sheriff, they couldn't control the sheriff because he's elected by four of the people. They want control. And so some have actually changed the power of the sheriff. And they said, no, we just want you to serve papers. Serving papers is a constable. Most of them already have constable. The sheriff is not the constable. Okay, that's a separate office. If they don't elect a constable, then the sheriff will still do that. But his job is not just serving papers or running the jail. Some counties now and some states have relegated the sheriff to just being a paper server. That's absolutely wrong. Pennsylvania has that now. Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Delaware, and the worst state in the union for sheriffs is Connecticut. They voted the office out of the state back about 30 years ago. So there's three states that don't have sheriffs at all. Alaska and Hawaii never established the office, and Connecticut voted it out. And we've got to get Massachusetts and those other eastern states, liberal states, back where they have the power to do it. I've worked with those states. I've been to Pennsylvania. We've tried to get it done, and the state legislature won't budge. And this would probably be the year to try it again with this red wave.
Amen. See, the job of the sheriff is to protect the citizenry from the federal government.
All enemies, both foreign and domestic. Doesn't matter where the enemy comes from.
It's the same thing, folks. It's happened in our schools, right? The schools now want all authority over the children.
And then the state police have, the state, that's the highway patrol. They provide security for the state officers, including the governor, and they patrol the highways throughout the state. To say that they have authority over the sheriff is absolutely not. When highway patrol would do something I didn't like, all I had to do was call the captain that I knew, and he would take care of it. Yes, we want to work with them. We want to work with the local police department. But this, for instance, the city of Safford, where I was sheriff, that's where I grew up, they have their own police department. How do I work with them? Well, we do. We work together. And the gentleman's agreement is that they handle the calls within the city limits of Safford, of that city. That's the same with any city wherever you guys live, especially in the urban areas, as you mentioned. But the sheriff should be meeting with them on a monthly basis, and that's what I did with the other police departments in my county. And we weren't always on the same page. Like, they always really liked writing the tickets. Tickets is nothing more than taxation through citation. It's absolutely one of the abominations that we that we do in our country. It's all about revenue generation.
That's right.
It's making police tax collectors.
Amen. I love it, Sheriff. Adam, come on in.
Hey, thank you, guys. I have somewhat of a hopefully it's not a silly question, but in the area of Pennsylvania where I live, in my town, we have maybe two local police officers that only work till like 1 or 2 o'clock. After that, we have no police station, no sheriff's department. So we have to rely on the state police to respond to anything that happens over here.
Wow.
So can we petition our government to put a local sheriff's department over here?
Yeah, you could. But whatever county you're in, there's a sheriff's office already. But the problem with Pennsylvania is that they've taken away police powers from your sheriff. They've taken away the power to arrest. And unless they see something and it happens, they can arrest, and then they're supposed to turn over to the local police or state. But that's really your problem in Pennsylvania. And
Jack,
and
come on in.
That needs to change.
Come on in, Jack.
Yeah, morning, Richard. This is Jack McCarthy from Maine. you expand a little bit. The principle you're talking about is interposition, and we need to learn to use
how
the
did
right
you know?
Words.
That's the word, Coach Dave. That's it. You win the prize. This is doctrine of interposition. That's it's right. And it's nonviolent. You're great. Go, keep going.
So when I call the sheriff, I'm going to ask him to interpose on my behalf. That's what he's supposed to be doing.
Okay. Absolutely.
But we need to use the right words.
Well, that's what we train on.
We've had this discussion before. In Maine, what they did was they built a Office of Public Safety, and then they slid the sheriff under the Office of Public Safety, and then they put the chief of the state police in charge of public safety. So every state is trying to do that.
So, folks, if you look up the word interposition, old English guy here, it means basically to stand between. So you're in trouble, and somebody that doesn't have the authority over you, it would be like you go to school and the principal is trying to tell you what you can do. Well, your parents, the one who interposes, steps in and says, no, you can't do that to my child. It's the same thing in the law enforcement. If the feds come in, Sheriff Matt comes in and says, no, you can't do that here in my house. Is that a good picture of it, Sheriff?
Yeah, and I always use the analogy of a basketball player playing defense. He's just going to put himself in the way between the player with the ball and the basket. He interposes, and every time he moves, the defender moves, and he stays in the way. He puts himself in the way.
Amen. Good picture. Janine.
To go along with what Jack, he kind of stole my thunder a little bit, but in our area here, what they've done, and I'm sure it's in every state, Sheriff Max said urban, which I just said it was the counties. All the smaller counties in the area or urban areas that had a sheriff are now being absorbed under a bigger city. So they get, and really it's the people in the residential areas that are saying, oh yeah, let's be part of the bigger city so we can have more funds come in. And that's their thought. But in actuality, they're actually giving up their rights because they get rid of the sheriff. So people in these smaller areas really need to be careful what they're voting in, because they're giving their rights away. And thus you'll have a Nottingham sheriff eventually.
Amen. Yeah,
good point. Most of the sheriffs, though, still 44, 45 states elect the sheriff, and the sheriff is the CLIO. And as a matter of fact, Utah just passed to change their constitution that says the sheriff shall be elected by the people.
We get elected sheriffs. However, the smaller areas are giving up the office to be a part of a bigger one. So therefore, you're lowering the amount of sheriffs that are out there, and you'll end with a rotten one.
Yeah, we the first law enforcement officer in the United States of America was sheriff. It actually preceded the formation of our country. And three signers of the Declaration of Independence were former sheriffs, Oliver Wolcott being one of them.
Wow. So, Sheriff, walk us through this in just a second, Mary Beth. Jack, I'll get you in a second. So, again, Sheriff, because we're so ignorant, most of us are so ignorant, purposefully, I suppose.
Yeah, maybe.
Somebody's watching right now and they said, daggone it, I'm going to contact my sheriff tomorrow. What's the step, Sheriff? How do they do that?
Well, you call and ask for an appointment, and they say, why? And they say, I want to talk to the sheriff about the him being a constitutional sheriff. I want to know if he is, and I want to talk to him about that. I want to talk to him about training his officers in the Constitution. Our training is called the Constitution for Law Enforcement Officers. And it deals with the oath of office mostly in history, and it's very powerful. The Supreme Court case, we quote Martin Luther King, we show a video of Rosa Parks being arrested for not giving her seat to a white man. It is the best law enforcement training anywhere in the country. But there's others. If they don't want, I don't want that radical Sheriff Mack, well, then get Chris Ann Hall, or get another constitutional lawyer or whatever. We could make other recommendations. We can get a former sheriff, Brad Rogers from Indiana. He could come and do it.
So, Sheriff, having been a sheriff,
yeah,
how many phone calls to your office does it take to get the sheriff to pay attention?
Well, if he gets 10 to 15 calls, he's going to say he's getting dozens and hundreds of calls. So you've got to be relentless, but I really still am to the point where you got to sit down and do face to face, and you can see and look in his eyes if he's being evasive or if he's telling it straight. So it's a very simple process. Make an appointment, take some cookies, break the ice with that, and say, Sheriff, I'm really concerned about the direction of our country. I want to hopefully that we're working with the Trump administration to make America a safe place to live and a constitutional place. And Sheriff, I just want to know, have you ever had training about your oath of office? Do you know why we take the oath of office? Why does every public official swear an oath of allegiance to the Constitution? Do you know why we do that? And has there ever been training about the oath of office and the Constitution and the law enforcement's role in preserving our God-given constitutional republic? Amen. Have you ever had that kind of training?
Carry one of the flyers in and give it to him, right, Sheriff?
Oh, you definitely want to take one of these with you. Definitely. You need to remind him this is the only time in U.S. history where sheriff sued the federal government and won. Wouldn't you be interested in knowing what that was about?
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Okay, let's go. Let's go here. Let's go to Neil. Try to get new folks in. Go, Neil.
One of the reasons the sheriff's office has been so minimalized in the last how many years is because of Hollywood. You look back at the Westerns from the 50s and 60s, you know, the sheriff was always right on the scene and take care of things. But you look at the cop shows and the movies from the 80s and 90s, what happened? The FBI flashed their badge, told the sheriff to go home. I think people believe that. That's one of the reasons why I think the sheriff's office has been minimalized throughout the years.
Efren Zimbalist Jr., right?
Yeah, there actually was a movie that Arnold Schwarzenegger played in, and it did just the opposite of the movie. He was the sheriff, and he told the FBI, I don't even know you, and you have no authority here. He clicked up the phone. So there's been both, and lately it's been showing sheriffs having power, and I dig that but you're right. They have minimized it, and oh, the FBI. Oh, they're federal. Oh my gosh, they're the FBI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But hey, Sheriff, remember the old line?
They don't represent the people.
You remember the old line? There's a new sheriff in town.
That's right.
That's what we need to do, isn't it, brother? We need there's a new sheriff in town.
Let me tell you, though, Dave, Coach, I'm sorry. When I was sheriff, the Army Corps of Engineers and EPA came into our county, and this has happened with lots of sheriffs. Sheriffs have stood up to the Forest Service, to the Bureau of Land Management, to the IRS, to FDA, and in my particular case, they came in and they would not allow us to fix a bridge that washed out during a flood. And 10 months later, they're still not letting us fix the bridge.
Unbelievable.
So finally, the Board of Supervisors, the county commissioners voted unanimously to fix the bridge. The Army Corps of Engineers and EPA threatened to arrest them. I called them in. I said, you have no authority to arrest anybody. And if you try, I'm going to arrest you.
Mm.
They left town. We fixed the bridge. Oh, and they were going to charge us $35,000 a day. We paid no fines. Nobody went to jail. We fixed the bridge. We served the people, and the federal agents left town. That is what we're supposed to be doing. Nobody went to jail. Nobody got hurt. No federal funding changed, but I did not take federal funding. The county did in some respect, but our office, the sheriff's office, took no federal grants.
So the Bundy boys were right, weren't they, Sheriff? When
they were
right
down absolutely the correct.
Amen. Wow. Let's go with
Bunkerville. In Bunkerville, when they went into the federal building in Oregon, they were wrong.
Randy, come on in.
Yeah, Coach. Listen, right now, Coach, watching the show, I already made up my mind, in my heart, I'm going to make a pledge. I am going to buy the book. I promise I will read it and let this coach me up, coach. Every single person in here today, if you have not read this book, bought this book, buy it. Look, coach, Sheriff Mack's been dropped right in our lap here.
Amen.
We're not ignorant anymore. We have no excuse. Talk. Do. Become doers, people.
Amen.
Learn what he's teaching us and practice it. And that's what changes it, coach. So I promise, Sheriff Mack, I'm going to read your book. I'm going to get the book. Thank you.
So, Sheriff, the truth is, if there is a decentralization of government, which is what President Trump says he's going to do, that remains to be seen whether he can. There's going to be more and more power come back locally, which is where it should have been in the first place.
Amen. That's 100% correct. And my work has been, as you alluded to, for the last 30 years, and more specifically the last 15, because I've been traveling the country ever since I left the sheriff's office, doing these training and working with sheriffs and other public officials and the public. The citizens have got to be involved in this process. We, the people, the first three words of the Constitution, this is our country. We're in charge. And we've got to take that back, and we've got to realize what that really means. And this is a peaceful and effective process to return our country to the constitutional republic we were meant to be.
Peaceful, effective, and legal. Teresa, come on in.
Okay. Hi. Thank you for what you do, and I have two questions. One is, if we have a bad sheriff, can they not use their constitutional powers against us? And the second one is, if we have a bad sheriff, how do we remove them?
Okay, both of those are good questions. And first of all, yes, there are some sheriffs that are tyrants, that they're just not a good person, and they have evil in their heart. First, you try to get them to repent and change, and then you go after their position. Some states have recall laws, some don't. So you need to find out if your state has that. If they don't have that, then you need to start a petition drive. And if they don't have, and if that doesn't work, and you literally sign, get thousands of signatures of people say, we want you to leave. Mm-hmm. You are not doing what we asked. You are our employee. We are firing you. And he said, no, I'm not leaving. I don't care what you guys say. Then you start getting somebody to run against him that will keep his tyranny to only 4 years. So you are in charge of that. He works for you. So you check and see if you have a recall and get him recalled. If you don't, do your petition drive. If you don't, vote him out.
And come on in. And.
Yes, good morning. Sheriff Mack, this is Ann from Wisconsin. I've been on your podcast many times. I've ordered cases of your books, many, many of them, if not all of them. I sent one to my sheriff. It got mailed back. and I asked you to come and do training in Wisconsin. I was trying to get you to come to Shawano County so that we could do it in northeastern Wisconsin. Yeah. If you remember that was several years ago. And I know you came to Wisconsin. I don't know where you went to, but thank you.
Yeah.
Was it Antico?
I did go across the state, and I remembered the cheese was fantastic.
Well, thank you for this battle that you have been in. You are one of my heroes. So is Coach Dave. But what you are doing is so important to train our sheriffs. A lot of them are just ignorant. They've never read the Constitution or the Bill of Rights. Right. They seriously do not know what those documents say. Amen. So what you said earlier, if they don't know what your rights are, how can they protect them?
Yeah.
Amen.
And that's why we're seeing this massive tyranny across America. So that put me on an investigative journey for several years. I've been in this fight for a long time. And what we discovered in Wisconsin, especially during the COVID, we only had 4 of our 72 sheriffs sign a memorandum that went to our corrupt and pedophile Governor Evers back in 2020 to tell him that we were not going to enforce your mandates. We see this as an infringement. Only 4 of our 72.
There's been more people more sheriffs in California did it than in Wisconsin then.
Yeah, well, this is a huge satanic stronghold. It's breaking up. I gotta move on, man. Okay, but the important thing, well, we notified our sheriffs after we notified our governor, and we let the sheriffs know that we know that they are stuck in a bad system, this corporation. Most sheriff's departments are corporations. The counties are corporations. The states are all corporations. But Trump voided the Organic Act of 1871, which voided all of those corporations, and we are starting over. So we, the people, are assembling. And one of the many seats at local level that we have to reseat, because we haven't had a functioning government since Abe Lincoln's time frame, is Office of the Sheriff. So
Jeff,
we know.
Come on in, Jeff.
Thank you, Ann.
Hey, I'm just curious, just for lack of ignorance, exactly how does the sheriff, its department, its equipment, its men, how is everything paid for exactly? What does that budget come from, and what's the percentage of that?
Okay, and always call it a sheriff's office, because it's not a department. It's not a division of the county. It's a
correct office. Words mean things.
And the sheriff needs to know that as well. The funding comes from the county taxpayers, the general fund. And the sheriff has to work out his budget with the county commissioners every year. And that's why some people think, oh, he answers to the county. No, he does not. But he does have to work out. There's a check and balance on the sheriff. He doesn't get to spend whatever he wants. He has to go through the county. I need two more deputies. I need two more patrol vehicles, whatever he needs. I need more pens. I need a secretary, whatever. He has to get all of that approved by the county. So that check and balance is there. It's good. Sheriffs mostly don't like it. I didn't like it because they didn't know law enforcement. They didn't really know what we needed. Regardless of that, it comes from the county taxpayers.
So that's why there's the temptation to take federal grants and funds.
Yep. It's all the money.
It can, yeah.
Sue Schaefer. Go ahead, Sue.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, in Cuyahoga County, the sheriff is appointed. He's no longer elected.
Is that Ohio or Pennsylvania?
Yes, that's Ohio. Cleveland's a big suburb.
Yeah. Yeah. And they've done that in a couple other counties across the country. A few have done that. St. Charles, maybe St. Louis. King County, Washington just did, because the sheriff was so independent and said, we will not enforce the COVID-19 mandates. Some of the agencies, some of the other politicians said, we can't have a sheriff doing crap like that. We got to have somebody to do what they're told. And so they've tried to diminish the role of the sheriff, and they've got them where they're appointed.
Sheriff, we got 2 minutes. Walk us
through. You have to fight that, folks.
Give us a 2-minute action plan here, Sheriff.
Okay. Well, first of all, the founding fathers, last line of the Declaration of Independence, and for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Folks, we must do the same today. If we're going to make a difference, we the people have got to be involved in the game, and the best place to get involved is with your sheriff. We work with the sheriff to build the defenses against all criminal activity, foreign and domestic. He's the ultimate protector, and you are his boss. You've got to work together. Join us at cspoa.org. Become part of our posse. Become part of the solution. And we will bless each other.
Okay, Sheriff. So I'm at your website right now. We want to get the little flyers, a Supreme Court case for state sovereignty. What's the number one gotta have book there on your website, Sheriff?
That one, and then the County Sheriff, America's Last Hope. That's that one right there in the middle. There it is. And the proper role of law enforcement, I would highly recommend that one too. But that one, it's like $9, $10. I don't know what it is on the website anymore, but they're kind of Thomas Paine books. They're pamphlets. That one's only 50 pages. Proper role of law enforcement is 30 pages. Get that with the Supreme Court case, and you're well on your way. If your sheriff will just read the Supreme Court case, he's well on his way.
Amen. Sheriff, thanks for joining us. Stay right there when we'll talk a little bit here in the after show. Folks, thanks. Man, some great stuff. Share this with your friends, huh? We'll see you tomorrow.